Hello, everyone. It's nice to be here. I have the benefit of being able to be at the front and not have a mask on, which is a bit of a treat for me, isn't it? But I'm far enough away from you. It is lovely to be here again, to see so many of your faces. It's nice to have sort of little waves across the room. But it is weird, isn't it? We can't be singing together. It's hard to be able to talk to each other. And it isn't the way it should be. One of the things that has been running through my mind as I've been getting ready for this and doing the risk assessment is Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is written to people. They're on their pilgrimage. They're on their journey to Jerusalem, and they're longing to be there. Verse 2 says, "My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord." And don't we get a sense of that, like a yearning to, oh, I just wish it was back to normal. I wish we could sort of be milling around again and in the courts of the Lord. But actually, even more than that, it's pointing to a longing beyond the normal. It says, "My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." And as we long for it to be back to normal, let's actually push it further on to a longing for the Lord. It talks about in verse 5, says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose heart are set on pilgrimage as they pass through the valley of Baca." Baca means weeping. So they're walking on this long journey, and it's like going through the valley of weeping. It's hard. But as they go, it says, they will go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And that's our hope. We're going to appear before God. As we live through this strange time, have our hopes set on appearing before God. We're going to start with a song that will help us do that. We can't sing this song, but turn it into a prayer. So as we're listening to it, take each line and turn it into a prayer. It's a song that talks about lifting our eyes, that God alone is our help and our hope. And as we pray through this song in our heads, turn the words into a prayer. Do pray that we'd lift our eyes this morning and experience a time with God. So let's listen to a song. Pray. Father, you alone are our help. You are the only one we can run to. Father, I pray that you would keep us. Lord, as it says in verse 7 of Psalm 84, that we ask that you might keep us going from strength to strength until we appear before you. Thank you that us appearing before you, that our righteousness will be achieved all by Jesus, that you will get the glory for that. And Father, I pray this morning as we meet that you might help us to lift our eyes to you, that you might help us to see your glory and your majesty, that you might give us a sense of the fact that we are your children by your grace. Help us to see you and to see your good news. Amen. Let's join in saying the Lord's Prayer. We can't say that loudly, but we can say it. So please, once that's up on the screen, let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Amen. A couple of notices. It's nice to be able to get together and share some of what's going on. One of the things we want to do is we realize that we're loved by God and we want to love Potter's Bar even while it's hard to see people. So a couple of things that have happened in the last week or so is we've run a online kids craft event. The kids have had some crafts to do in their packs that have been sent out and they've been watching videos online. They've had a book that's come through. I think Henry's definitely had one. He's been reading through it. And we hope to love the children there, but also for them to get a real sense of who Jesus is through that book. So please, over the coming weeks, just be praying for the kids that have got that book in their houses. Be praying that the seeds that are dropped there would come to fruit. Also, we've had conversation classes started this week on Friday. We run that as a way to love people, help them learn English. Often people come in from all over the globe. And the God we know is God of all nations. So we love being able to spend time, build friendships, and hopefully share the gospel with those people. Pray for that group. It's particularly hard doing it online, and it's hard to get to interact with people online. So pray for that group as it comes, keeps going through the weeks. Jemima, you're off to uni this week, back to Exeter. It is your final year, isn't it? Final year, that means serious study now. Start of study now. So off she goes. Keep her in mind. She'll be back in, what, a few weeks, mid-November, October. If I keep guessing and you nod. December. Oh, wow, a long stretch till December. So keep Joe in your mind. And then I'd like to introduce you to Luke over here. Luke, you pop up. This is Luke. Normally, you'd have probably chatted to him and said hello, but he's just been sat there with over guests. This is a nice way to say hello. So, you're Luke.
Yeah.
Tell us some facts about you, Luke. Who are you?
Hi, so I'm Luke. Recently moved with wife and three young kids, and they should be watching live, I think, at the moment. Moved to Oak Hill Theological College, sort of 15 minutes south of here, where we're going to be studying for the next 3 years. So very much looking forward to that. My uni term starts tomorrow. Yeah, and big things going on as well. Our eldest daughter, she starts school these coming weeks as well. Lots of
names of kids, and we'll all remember.
Yeah. So there's Polly going into school. Isaac, he's just turned 3 relatively recently, loves to kick around. And then Bertie, who's 1, can walk and uses all of his energy finding stones to put in his mouth.
Yeah, you'll be pleased to know that doesn't change by the time you're 2. Still, once I found Ezra with like a whole base full of marbles.
Is it?
But he was fine, it was alright. How's it been arriving at Oakland?
So we actually sort of moved to the area in July. It's been wonderfully welcoming. I don't know if you, the Oak Hill sort of grounds this big house, really. So it feels like we're sort of living in a mansion. We're not actually in the mansion, but it's been very pleasant, wonderfully welcoming, starting to get to know the area. I think we just, eldest kids started swimming lessons over in Fursfield, is it called, just down the road from here. Yeah, starting to get settled in. Takes a while, doesn't it?
Lovely. How can we take Luke with us for at least a year, possibly 2 years, possibly three? How can we be praying for you, Ruth, and the kids over the next few weeks?
Yeah, so I really appreciate your prayers. But I guess, firstly, for settling in, there's lots of things. We'd love to settle in quickly as a part of the church family here in these sort of strange times. Love to get to know all of you here. Me starting college, Polly starting school, just generally getting to know the area. I really appreciate prayer for that. And then just for the next 3 years, that they'd be really valuable for us. Come here basically to be equipped better to serve God's people wherever God ends up placing us. So pray that this would be great 3 years for doing that.
Great. Well, grab a seat and then you're going to pop up again to read for us. But for now, grab a seat and I'll pray. Let me capture some of those things in prayer. Join me in prayer. Father, I thank you for the love that you have shown us. Thank you that we are recipients of your love and your grace. Father, we pray thanks that we get to serve you and serve others in this town of Potter's Bar. We thank you for the effort that went into making the craft packs for the kids. We pray that as they have gone out across the town to 30-odd children, we pray that they would hear your good news through that book. Father, we thank you for the stories of people that have heard the gospel as youngsters and then have come to know you. Lord, we thank you for that story that I shared last week in the email of someone who came here as a teenager and many years later has come to know you. Father, we pray that you would be saving people, children across this town. Father, we thank you for the conversation class. Thank you that started well on Friday. Lord, we do pray for Hazel and Chloe as they run that. Give them wisdom to know how to do that online. Father, we do pray that we'd be able to help people to learn the language, to settle in this town, but Lord, also to build friendships that can share your good news. Father, we pray for Jemima as she goes off to university. Give her wisdom to work well. Give her a sharp mind to study, to get through what is often a very demanding final year. Father, we pray that in all of that, she would know your presence and your peace, that she would know that her identity, her security is grounded in who she is in Christ. And Lord, we pray for Luke and Ruth and the kids. We thank you that you know them. Thank you that you have brought them through much of service and ministry in London and beyond. Thank you that you've brought them here to us. Thank you that you brought them to Oak Hill. I pray for them as they settle. I pray that as they settle in a new place with so much changing, maybe particularly for the kids, that they would hold on to the fact that they know you, the one who is never changing. Know Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Know that he is the rock that we can stand on, no matter how uncertain or how different things may be. Pray for them in the coming 3 years. Pray that you would equip them for service to you. I pray that you'd help Luke to study well, so that he would learn much that he could use in ministry in the future. Father, we pray for the college, pray for Oak Hill and other colleges around that are teaching people to teach the Bible. Please help them. Help them to stand firm on what is true, that the Bible would be their cornerstone, that they would trust in your word, that they might then equip many for the gospel to go out across the country and across the world. Father, we pray for us as we come to your word. We need your help to open our eyes. We want to lift our eyes to see you, and we need your spirit at work within us to do that. So, Father, as we come to your word now, speak to us. Open our eyes that we might hear you, we might see the glories of who you are, and that we might be changed to have our lives grounded on you and you alone. Amen. Luke, if you would read for us.
So the reading is from Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 1, which, if you're finding it in a Bible, if you've come to Corinthians, it's a little after that. And if you're in Ephesians, Colossians, it's just before that. Galatians chapter 1, starting at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ.
So we are starting a new series today in the book of Galatians. Galatians, remember, is a letter. And it's a letter sent to a group of churches in Galatia, which is now modern-day Turkey. But it being a letter, I thought I'd give a letter to the children here. So children, under your chairs, you should find a letter. And so if you have a look, but so there, Amanda, just between your chairs, between you and your mum. So open up that letter. Have you got it, Amanda? It's there. It's like a pantomime, isn't it? What's under your chair? Have you got it? So open up your letter, and in there you'll find the letter to the Galatians, and there'll be a few questions that will help you concentrate as you go along. So open up your letter, and then I'll ask you some questions as we go. But this letter, one of the things that's really helpful is to remember that it is a letter. It's written to a real group of people in the first century in Turkey. And I want to read a part of it, and I want us to pick up on the tone. I want us to pick up on how is Paul talking to these people. So at the time, there was a fairly standard way to get a letter. It began with, who was it from? Well, it's from Paul, an apostle, verse 1. Okay, it's from Paul. Great, they knew Paul. Then it carries on and says, it's to, who's it to? The churches in Galatia. And then after that, the normal way that Paul would write his letter is that he'd then have a chunk of truth. So here we have grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. They'd expect that, a chunk of truth. But the next thing that would come in nearly all of Paul's letters is a prayer of thanksgiving. There'd be a prayer of, thank God for the progress that you have made. With that in mind, think about what Paul says next. What's the tone? He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. They're trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse.
Do you hear the tone? What are you doing? He's astonished, shocked, surprised. It's him saying, why are you deserting the gospel? I want us to hear this right. This isn't like a teacher. You know how a teacher might tell you off and look down and say, what are you doing? That's not what Paul's saying. This is much more like a parent to a child saying, don't do that. Don't turn to that. Katerina, I hope you don't mind this. A couple of months ago, I was talking to your mum just out there, and you were on your bike. Do you remember? And you were cycling along there, and you got a bit close to the road. And your mum, what did she do? Well, of course, she shouted, stop! Don't go close to the road, it's dangerous. What? She was doing the right thing. That's a parent loving her child. That's what Paul is doing here. He's saying, stop. He's warning them, no, don't go there, it's dangerous. He loves them. All of us will know people, won't we, who we love. And we see them turning to things that just aren't good for them. And we look at them and we go, don't do that. Don't do that. It's out of love. Some of us will know the pain of people who seem to be Christians, who loved Jesus and then drifted from him. We'll know that that is deserting the most glorious person. It breaks our heart. That's what's going on here. Paul is seeing them starting to drift. They're just starting, but they're starting to drift. He's saying, don't do it. Don't abandon such a wonderful thing. And what is it he's worried that they're abandoning? Well, remember, it's written to Christians, and he's worried that they're going to turn from the gospel. What does gospel mean? Gospel means good news. So gospel means good news. And I think, actually, it wakes us up a little bit to read this, adding in the words good news. When he says, I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and are turning to a different good news, which is really no good news at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion, trying to pervert the good news of Christ. You see, this is what Galatians is about. They're moving from the good news of Jesus. And what Paul says is there is only one true good news. This is the only good news. He's saying, don't move from it. And as we come to this book, we need to realize that a danger for them to leave this good news can also be a danger for us. These were Christians. Paul planted this church. You'd have thought they'd be on pretty solid ground. You know, Paul planting a church, that seems pretty good going. But they were drifting. So as we look at this passage, we're going to look at where the good news comes from, what the good news is, and what might turn us from the good news. But let's keep you going along, kids. I've got to the first point of your thing. What does the gospel mean? Do any of you kids know? That's your first box. What does that word mean? Katerina, what do you think it means? Yeah, well done. Yeah, gospel means good news. So when you come across the word gospel, it means good news. Well done. You've got your first box done, Katerina. So let's look at the first point. Where does the good news come from? Verse 1 and 2. So the first question they might be asking is, who is this Paul to come and tell me, don't abandon this good news? Who is he? What gives him the right to say it? Because you see, other teachers had come along. Paul had taught them about Jesus. They'd accepted it. But then they had some new teachers that came along, and they were saying, yeah, what Paul says is good, but you need something a little bit more. Well, and the question that rings is, well, who do you trust? Do you trust Paul? Or do you trust the new teachers? Well, and the key comes from asking, well, let's see what Paul says. Paul says, Paul, an apostle, sent not by men, nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from dead. Paul says he's an apostle. It's a funny word. What does that mean? Apostle means sent one. It means someone that's sent with a message. So really we need to be asking, who do we trust? Who do we trust the person that sent Paul? Well, who sent him? And that's a question we always ask, isn't it? The other day, some of you will know, we live above a closed down pub, and our landlord has put a bus on it, and he wants to open that bus as a cafe. Now, some neighbours have complained about this, and we got a knock on the door the other day from Environmental Health. But he didn't look like Environmental Health. He was just dressed as a normal man, knocking on the door at sort of 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and he was asking for our landlord's address and phone number. And I started going, well, I don't know who this guy is. Should I really? So I was a bit nervous, you know, like you do. Well, I don't really know who you are. Should I give him this number? And eventually I asked, well, who sent you? What's your authority? And he showed me his police authority badge. And I was like, okay, fine, you have his number. Like, very quickly you hand it over because you realise, oh, he's authorised by the police. He's been sent by Environmental Health. So Paul has been sent not by man, but by Jesus himself. By God the Father. See, Paul met the risen Jesus. And Jesus told him, he changed his life and told him, go and spread my message. So when we're hearing Paul, we're hearing him with the authority of Jesus. We can trust his words. And notice he also adds the detail, because he could say anything after that, couldn't he? He says, sent by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead? He didn't need to say that. Who raised him from the dead? Why does he say that? He's saying it because what's the worst news possible? It's death. He's saying God the Father has power over death. God the Father has power over the worst thing possible. He is the one that has the power to bring this good news. So the question is, who are you going to trust? Do you trust the word of God through the apostle that has the power to raise people from the dead? Or do you trust these people here that have, well, they sound quite interesting arguments? Paul's saying, trust the word of God that comes through me. And for us, we still have the apostles' words. We have God's word through the apostles in our Bible. So we've got to hang to it, cling to it. You see, it's easy to turn just slightly aside from the gospel, and before you know it, you've drifted. We've got to hang to it as if it's a lifeboat that we are clinging to. Go to it like food that we need. One of the ways you can do that is while I'm preaching or anyone's preaching here, have the Bible open and check what I'm saying is actually what the Bible says. I can only bring you what God is saying. So first, where does it come from? It comes from the Word of God. So, kids, next point, what is the question you're looking for an answer to? Where does the good news come from? Where does the good news come from? That second box. Henry, any idea? Where does the word come from? Who sent Paul? Yes, well done. Jesus is sent him. Jesus sent him and God the Father. And the next thing we want to look at is, what is this good news? What is this good news? If we're going to cling on to it, we need to know what it is. And we get a really small summary in verse 3 to 4. It's small, it's compact, but it has so much in it. It says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. See the main point here, the good news is that there is a rescue. The good news is that there is a rescue. God gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age. I think sometimes we can think of Jesus as just a teacher. He is a teacher, but he's so much more.
We come to Jesus as if he's like a life coach, and you kind of come to him, and you know how those life coaches, they bounce around on stage and like, do this, 10 steps or 3 steps, and then you'll be fine and happy and off you go. And I think we can go to Jesus like that, like, oh, he'll give me some good advice and then I can flourish and off I go. But Jesus does more than that. Jesus is a rescuer. He's come to give a rescue. Or I think sometimes we can go to Jesus like a sort of spiritual pick-me-up. Oh, I'm feeling a bit down. I'll go on Sunday and whoop, off I go, like an energy drink. Off you go. I run out and it kind of gives me enough oomph for the week. Jesus does more than that. He is a rescuer. Because we need more. We need more if we are going to have a rescue from this present evil age. That's what it says. He rescues us from the present evil age. Just a teacher doesn't do that. Just some energy doesn't do that. We need a rescue from the evil that is all around us. Just this morning, I mean, I don't know all the details, but in Birmingham last night, there were multiple people that were stabbed. People who are going home injured. People that might no longer have a daughter or a son because of what happened last night. People taking other people's lives. Over the summer, we have heard of shootings, of awful... We all know stories of abuse and injustice and neglect. Some of us will know them personally. We'll know the effect of the evil that is around us. We need someone to rescue us from this evil age. And we need a rescuer from suffering and death. This present evil age is marked by the one thing that chases us through all our lives, that death is coming. Look at us. We are sitting in a room with masks over our face because we are so vulnerable to a virus. We need a rescuer. We need someone who can take us from death. And the good news is that we, in Jesus, have hope of a time when there will be no more evil. We have hope when there will be no more suffering and no more death. And Christians, we have a taste of this now. Hebrews 6:5 says, we have tasted this heavenly gift. We have tasted the goodness of the word of God and of the powers of the coming age. We have a taste of this because we no longer have to fear death. We have a taste of this because we know that justice is going to be done. In Jesus, we have a rescuer from this present evil age. But there is one more problem. To be rescued out of this age would be great, other than the fact that give me 10 minutes and I'd ruin it. Put us all there and we'd ruin it even quicker. We need a rescue from the present evil age, but we also need a rescue from ourselves. Don't we know that? As soon as we're given a bit of space, we mess things up. And that's what we have here. Because we are rescued from ourselves. It says here that Christ gave himself for our sins. Jesus came to earth, so all of the things we have done wrong, all of our sin against God and against others, he gave himself and he died and took the penalty for us. Our sin is gone. And he gave himself that with his death, he then gives us his righteousness. You think of Jesus' life, how perfect he was. We are now given that righteousness. We are seen by God as Jesus is seen. So God rescues us from this present evil age, and he rescues us from ourselves. And what does that mean? Well, it means all the glory goes to him. Look at what this says. It's the Lord Jesus who gave himself for our sin and rescued us from the present evil age. Was that us?
None of it was us. And it was according to the will of God the Father. It is Jesus, it is the Father, it is the Spirit. They get all the glory, not me. He gets it all. It's like we are trapped in a pit, down a well. And no matter how hard we try, we just get deeper and deeper and deeper in our own mess. And God reaches down and he lifts us out. When that happens, you give glory to the one who lifts you out. Look what he's done. He saved us. And Christians, I know some of us might have known this for 50, 60, 70 years. But it can never be old hat. We've got to always keep coming back to go, he has rescued me from this present evil age, and he has given me a hope of life eternal. Give him glory. So, children, what is the good news? Is the good news that we learn some things? Is the good news that we get more energy? Or is the good news that we are rescued? What do you reckon? Go on, Amanda.
We're rescued?
Yes, it's that we're rescued. It's that we're rescued. And then finally, let us think about what might turn us from this good news. Because Paul says, these are Christians he's talking to. They know the truth. And he says, I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you. It's astonished. Why are they doing it? Well, notice what he says. He says, astonished that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you. They're deserting the one who called them. Who's that? That's God. They're deserting God himself. And he called them to live in the grace of Christ. That's really important. They're called to live in the grace of Christ. They're not just saved by grace. They live in the grace of Christ. They continue their whole lives in the grace of Christ. Every moment from the A of the Christian life to the Z of the Christian life, all of it is in the grace of Christ. But what they were trying to do is they were trying to add something to it. They were saying, yes, Jesus saved me, plus a bit of what I do. And this is the danger. I think few of us will wake up tomorrow and go, actually, you know what? I don't need a savior. But what might happen is we start going, yeah, Jesus saved me, but I've worked quite hard myself. And before you know it, we are drifting away. It's gospel plus something else. You know what it's like? It's like being in that well, being in that pit, and someone is picking you up and saving you, and just before you get out, you say, let me do the last bit. I'll just climb out the last little bit of the well. You know why? Because that will make it look like I've done something. I can manage the last little bits of this well. I can clamber out, and then when I get out, people will look on and they'll go, wow, Spencer saved himself from that deep, deep well. That is not what is going on. God saves us all the way out. He gets the glory, not us. And that's what's going on in Galatians. You see, these false teachers came, and they weren't saying, you don't need Jesus. They were saying, great, I'm so pleased that you've believed in Jesus. But you know what? To really belong, to really be accepted by God, you need to add things to it. You need to add circumcision. We won't go into what that is yet. There's children around. You need to add the works of the law, the works of Moses. It was grace plus our works. It was Jesus plus a bit of me. And you know what happens when we do that? When we add something to what Jesus has done? Well, I think sometimes we can get proud. And what ends up happening is you go, yes, Jesus saved me, but I've done a lot. And you start looking down on other people and go, I can't believe they're doing that. And sadly, sometimes that's what Christians look like. But that's because we've detached ourselves from the gospel. And if we're doing that, we should repent and go, no, it is Jesus in me. If I have changed at all, it is because God is at work in me. And we do change. We see that later in Galatians. We do change, but it's because God is at work in us. We can't look down on others with proud, lofty, as if I did it. But secondly, and some of us might have this, is if we're adding on something to what Jesus has done, we can end up really insecure. Am I good enough? Have I added enough? And we start going, am I good enough? We see that through Galatians. The truth is, God saves us. God changes us. God is the one who will lift us to heaven, and we will stand in his righteousness. Let me end with an illustration. I couldn't quite tell whether this was a good idea or not. So if it's not helpful, just forget it. But I thought I'd give it a go. I think sometimes people look on at Christianity and they think it's a little bit like, you know, like the special offers you get on Amazon Prime? Like, join Amazon Prime, it's free, is the big banner. And I think people sometimes think of Christianity as like, oh, Christians say it's free, great. And then in the small print on Amazon, it says, oh, but actually after 3 months, you've got to start paying. Now, I think people sometimes think that's what Christianity is. They think it's you get in for free, but then you've got to work really hard to really get God's approval, to get God's acceptance. That is not the gospel. It is God who saves us. It is God who changes us. It is God who will lift us up in Jesus' righteousness. That's why he gets all the glory. See, the gospel is the start, the middle, and the end of the Christian life. Grace is the top, the middle, and the bottom. So let's cling to it and know that he gets all the glory. Let me pray. Our Father, some of us will have heard this good news so many times before. But Lord, thrill us again with what Jesus has done for us. Thrill us again to know that we are saved by his grace, that he has rescued us from this present evil age, but he's rescued us from ourselves, from our sin, from our selfishness. That it is all according to your will, that you get all the glory for that. Lord, make us people who give you glory in all we do. Father, help us to cling to your word that you have spoken through your apostles so that we see this glorious story, that we are lost and helpless, but we have a wonderful Savior. That we might come back to the Bible time and time again to see that we have been saved by grace. And Lord, protect us. When we become proud, help us to be quick to come to you and realize that you are the one that is at work in us. Lord, if we are feeling insecure and not good enough, help us to come quickly to Jesus and realize that he is our righteousness. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this book of Galatians, that you might shape us and change us so that you get all the glory. Oh, Lord, we are so thankful for what you have done. Amen. Let's continue praying. We're going to listen to In Christ Alone.
Through the faces, drought and storm, what heights of love. Thank you that there is no better news than that we can be set free because of the life and death of Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for raising Jesus from the dead. We thank you for rescuing us. We just pray, Lord, that we won't cling to anything else for our rescue, that we will rely on you. Father, we just ask that as we live our daily life, we would put our trust wholly in you, that we wouldn't listen to other voices around us that tell us of different solutions and of ways that we can save ourselves, that we can help ourselves. We know, Lord, that you are our rescuer and that we can rely on you, that you are our only Saviour. And we give you all of the glory, Lord. Father, help us to live our lives, giving none of the glory to ourselves, seeking no glory for ourselves, but just acknowledging you, giving you the glory. Father, help us as we live our daily life to be a faithful witness to the truth of your gospel. We thank you so much for the good news. There is no other good news, and we thank you, Lord, for blessing us, for saving us, and for giving us peace. Amen.
Let's close by sharing the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.